This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about the Christian's hope. Do you have a hope of heaven, friend? Do you have a genuine hope that you're right with God now and your sins have been forgiven and that you're living the faithful Christian life and that you'll go to be with God in heaven forever? Do you have that genuine hope? If not, I want to encourage you to get that in your life. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 about hope. If you'll turn in your Bible there, if you have an opportunity to do that this morning, Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, we're going to read that in just a minute. Many live a life of constant despair, depression, and disappointment. Frustrating relationships, being plagued by disease or illness, losing loved ones to death, and a host of other life issues bring people to despair, depression, and disappointment. When people are in that situation, some will end their life. Others have an empty life or a meaningless life. Others turn to drugs and alcohol. For the atheist who does not believe in God, there is no hope beyond this life, no ultimate meaning in this life. It's hard to imagine a life without hope. And yet Paul writes about that in Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. He writes, "Wherefore remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Talking about the Gentile life before becoming a Christian. People in Paul's day, before they became Christians, without hope, without God, and having no hope. It's hard to imagine a life of having no hope and without God in the world. The other place where Paul talks about those who have no hope is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep," that is, they die, "that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Everybody is going to be raised in the judgment day, but some who die have no hope. They have no hope of being raised to go and be with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. They don't have that hope. So they are without hope or have no hope of a life with Jesus in heaven. Can you imagine that? And the alternative being hellfire, no hope. Hope is or should be a basic principle of our life. Hope is as necessary to the human spirit as oxygen, food, and water are to the human body. We need things for the human body. We need things for our spirit to live and function. Friend, do you have the Christian's hope? We need to study this topic because, as I said earlier, we're in a world of despair, depression, and disappointment. We need to be reminded that we can have a hope in Christ. And so, this lesson this morning, it is my desire that it will help you to think about that. We don't want to be like those who have no hope at all. We want to be those who have the one hope that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, the one hope of heaven. Now, there are a lot of people that have a hope it's not the Christian's hope. It is the hope of the material things of this life. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, those who have set their hope on the uncertainty of riches. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded. Riches can lead to pride, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Then he goes on to encourage them to share and give to others. Lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on life, which is life indeed. You know, people put their hope on material things. But we find, like in the recent hurricane and other natural disasters, material things burn up. They get blown away. They get flooded with water. Things get stolen. They rust. They wear out. And on top of all of that, you can't even take it with you. Earlier in the chapter, Paul talked about the love of money and being careful about that. And in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 6, Paul writes, "For we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content." We can't take it with us. But people have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches. Is that you, friend? Is that me? Earlier in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy 4:10, "For this end that we labor and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe." Is our hope set on the living God, or is our hope set on the uncertainty of riches? So, let's talk about the Christian's hope. Hope is not some pie-in-the-sky fantasy. It's not just simply wishful thinking. It's not, maybe I'll get to heaven. It is a confident expectation, number one, based upon certain fundamental truths and realities, number two. Hope has two very important elements to it. And we need to understand that before we go farther. Hope is a word that has gotten watered down in its meaning. It's like the word love or the word faith or the word church. It gets watered down. What is hope really? When Paul spoke of hope and others, the Greek word that they used meant to anticipate or welcome something in the future. It was a confident expectation of what is sure and certain. There are basically then two elements to hope. Expectation based upon reality and truths. And number two, desire. And both must be present in order to have biblical hope. Sometimes we can expect something but not desire it. Sometimes we can desire something and not expect it. Both are necessary for the Christian's hope. Let me give you a couple of examples. For example, we can desire things without expecting something. There are some cancer victims that are in stage 4 cancer that there's absolutely no way they're going to recover from that. They desire to be healed, but they can't expect it. They've been given by the doctor a certain number of days to live, and that's it. They desire to be healed and live past that, but it's not going to happen. Another example might be that I desire to read, to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, but I'm not going to expect that. First of all, the odds are too great. And number two, I don't fill out the necessary forms to even, I haven't even entered in, so there's no way that I can win. I desire to win, but I'm not going to expect to win. You can desire a lot of things in life without expecting that it's actually going to happen. And you can expect a lot of things in life that are going to come up without desiring that they come up. I expect every April the 15th that the government is going to want me to pay my taxes. But I don't desire that. I'd rather hold on to my money. But as a Christian citizen who obeys the laws of the land, I need to pay my taxes. I expect it, but I don't desire it. When I was growing up, I had godly parents who followed God's word in raising children, and from time to time when we were misbehaved, we were disciplined, as God's word tells us as parents to discipline our children. I expected to get punished when I disobeyed. I didn't desire that. I expected it. So you can expect things without desiring it. You can desire things without expecting it. But true Christian hope contains both expectation and desire. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about the expectation part of hope, and then we're going to talk about the desire part of hope. First of all, the basis or ground of hope is the expectation part of hope. Expectation is based upon fact, truth, what is absolutely the case. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Hebrew writer talks about the substance of things hoped for. Substance, what is there. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, we'll read about what Paul said about hope there. Paul writes, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be put to shame, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Earnest expectation and hope. We have three things that are fact-based or truth-based. Three things that are what is absolutely the case. God, Jesus Christ, and the Bible. So first of all, we can have a hope of heaven because the expectation element of hope is fulfilled in God, Jesus Christ, and the Bible. First of all, hope is connected to God, the God of hope, Romans 15:13. God on whom we have set our hope, 2 Corinthians 1:10. We have our hope set on the living God, 1 Timothy 4:10. She has her hope set on God, 1 Timothy 5:5. That your faith and hope might be in God, 1 Peter 3:21. Holy women also who hoped in God, 1 Peter 3:5. Because of the character and nature of God, we can have hope. God does not lie. He keeps His promises. God is faithful and trustworthy. He demonstrated that with Abraham in calling him out and fulfilling promises. And Abraham put his hope in God. Christians can put their hope in God, Romans 5, 2 through 5, because of His nature and character. He does not lie. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. And you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 6, 18 through 20. He keeps His word. Number two, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a part of the expectation, the fact, the truth. Hope is connected to Jesus Christ. On Jesus, on Him shall the Gentiles hope, Romans 15, 12. Those who hoped in Christ, Ephesians 1, 12. Hope in the Lord Jesus, Philippians 2, 19. And Christ Jesus our hope, 1 Timothy 1, 1. When Jesus was raised from the dead, and there were eyewitnesses, that gives the basis or ground of our hope. Jesus was in fact raised, based upon eyewitness testimony, and his resurrection, which cannot be disproved and never has been disproved, gives us hope. We have hope because of the factual evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. He was who he claimed to be. And then, the scriptures, the Bible. Hope is connected to the scriptures or the Bible. Paul writes in Romans 15 and verse 4 that through patience and through comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Paul writes in Colossians 1 and 5, whereof you hear before in the word of truth of the gospel. He's talking about the hope of heaven and the hope of the gospel which you hear, Colossians 1:23. The scriptures tell us about God who does not lie, and Jesus Christ who was resurrected, thereby giving us hope. And the scriptures are infallible, they are inspired, 2 Timothy 3:16, God breathed, they're without error, they're inerrant. There's no contradiction. They teach nothing but good. There's no fault in the scripture. The word of God is pure. It's without fault. The word of God is truth and true. And so, to have hope, number one, you have to have an expectation, a basis or a ground upon which to believe something. That expectation has to be based upon fact, truth, reality, what is absolutely the case. And we find that in the existence of God, Jesus Christ, and the scripture. There is evidence for God, a designer behind the design, a creator behind the creation. Paul talks about that in Romans 1. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 3:6 that every house was built by someone, and he who built all things is God. There, it's just obvious that when you see something that's been built, you think of the builder. You think of something that's been designed, you think of the designer. And this vast universe that we live in, the vast design in the universe, the human body, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, points to a creator. So, the evidence for a creator in God, and the fact that he himself does not lie, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the inerrant scriptures, these things give us that confident expectation. And that's the part of our hope that is fulfilled in God, Jesus, and the scriptures. The second part of hope, the second element, is desire. So if expectation is the basis or the ground of our hope, based upon facts, then desire is the object of our hope. We've already seen why we have an expectation. Now let's consider what our desire is. There are two things that I'd like to talk about with regard to this, and that is salvation now and salvation in the future. Hope is basically tied to the desire of salvation. We can be saved now and engage in Christian service, serving the Lord now. Hope is tied with associating ourselves with other Christians. We spend time comforting one another and helping one another. For example, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 7, and then again in verse 13. Association with other Christians. We work together, we worship together. Hope is associated with Christian growth in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. with Christian service in Philippians 1 and verse 20, with saved Christians in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8 that we can put on a helmet the hope of salvation. It's protecting us from the devil. The spiritual battle that we are in with the devil, we are to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. And we can put on a helmet which protects our head. And Paul calls it the hope of salvation. So our service now as a Christian gives us hope. Hope is tied to joy and peace. Romans 5:2. Do you have that now? Hope is tied to perseverance in times of trial. Romans 5:4 through 5. Hope is tied to boldness. 2 Corinthians 1:7 and 3:12. Boldness to speak out for what is right and against what is wrong. Hope is tied to comfort in death, that we're dying in the Lord and that we'll be raised to be with Him in the air and go to heaven. It's a protection from the devil, the helmet that we put on. I mentioned that earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Hope gives us stability in difficult times, Hebrews 3:6, 6:11, 10:23. When we go through difficult times, the hope that we have can help us to stay stalwart and strong. Hope gives us a reason to evangelize others and talk with others about the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:3 and 1 Peter 3:15, to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And hope purifies us from sin, 1 John 3 and verse 3. We want to be pure when Jesus comes again, and so we're going to remove any sin from our life now so that we can be like Christ when He comes and go to be with Him in heaven. So, hope, the object is to be saved now, the Christian life now. But also, we have a desire for salvation in the future, and that is in our heavenly home. Hope is tied to the resurrection and being raised. Romans chapter 8, 23 through 25. Various places Paul preached about the hope of the resurrection in the book of Acts. It's called the hope of righteousness, Galatians 5 and verse 5. It's called the hope of heaven, Colossians 1, 5. It's called the hope of glory, Romans 5, 2, and Colossians 1, 27. Paul says, in hope of eternal life, Titus 1, 2, and 3, 7. That's more than just continued existence for eternity. It's a better life in heaven. Paul writes about looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. Hope is tied to our inheritance in heaven, 1 Peter 1:3 through 5. Peter writes about the grace that is to be brought unto you, 1 Peter 1:13. Our home in heaven is a hope. Do you have that desire of the Christian life now? Saved now and then saved in the future in heaven. Do you have that as a desire? People desire the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. They desire power. They desire money. They desire fame and fortune. They desire education. They desire material things. Are you desiring to live the Christian life now and to go and be in heaven? And if that's not your desire, let me encourage you to change your desires. Change your focus. Change your priorities. Start living with the true Christian hope. Repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. Confess that Jesus is the Christ. Believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth. Romans 10:9-10. Obey the gospel. Become a Christian. Live faithfully thereafter. Have the Christian's hope. It's a shame when we look at the world around us and we see the depression. We see the despair. We see the disappointment. It's a shame. And yet, that's the very thing that is going on in a godless world. We have mass shootings, individual shootings. We have lawlessness. We have homelessness. There are all kinds of news stories where there are various towns in our nation where more and more people are just living in tents and sleeping bags out on the streets and the sidewalks. And there's drug needles all around. And there are places in this country where people are sitting openly on sidewalks, shooting up drugs in their arms and not caring, people just walking by as if it's a regular, ordinary day. The drug addict shoots up. He throws the needle down on the ground. There are a lot of people that are suffering. There are a lot of people whose minds are not right. Some people are trying to do something to help them. Many people don't care. And then there's all those people that we don't ever hear about or see on the news that are struggling in life. They don't have the Christian's hope. But friend, you can. Think about that. As we close the program today, think about that. Paul talks about in Romans 8:24-25 how that hope saves. Do you have a hope that will save you? Do you have a hope that is unwavering? Hebrews 10:23. Fully assured, Hebrews 6:11. Steadfast, 2 Corinthians 1:7. Living, 1 Peter 1:3. If not, become a Christian. Obey the gospel today. If I can help you to do that, or if you know of someone who needs the Christian's hope, please put me in contact with him. I'd be glad to study with him about God's word. That's all I want. I just want somebody to have the Christian's hope. Because what a terrible thing to have no hope and be without God in the world. What a terrible thing. If I can help you, if I can help one of your friends, please contact us. I would be glad to do that. Please come and visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're glad that you were with us today on the program. Join us again, and we hope that you'll have a good day.